Welcome to episode 176 of Both Down, the number one Blood Bowl podcast
in all of Southeast Asia. Shout out to Cornelius Prax in Vietnam.
Ooh, I bet that makes him really happy. I am Scott Prime, and the beautiful voice you've already heard is Steve Kilikwagi.
Kilikwagi?
Trying to hit every state, notch every state.
Yeah.
Like he's some, like, crazy man. Campbell.
A little longer intro than usual, but yeah. Yeah, did you see those figures that Anthony painted for me?
Maybe.
I shared the YouTube video on our page.
Oh.
You probably don't follow our page, though. Because you.
I probably don't, but I did see some painted figures posted on the Both Down site that were beautiful. So
yeah, they were very cool.
Yes.
But, yeah, so how's it going?
It is going.
One of these days we need to open it with, oh, things are going well. Everyone's having such a great time.
Yeah, let me address this really quick. Last episode we talked about World Cup. We talked about our views. I was in this, like, I can't believe blah, blah, blah. You know, like, it's got to get out of Europe. And it does. Mm-hmm. I still stand by that. One, behind the scenes, some people reached out and said, like, blah, 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 and gave us really logical reasons. And since we recorded about 3 weeks ago, it only feels like it's got worse here.
It has.
So I guess I understand now.
And we did receive a lot of people saying, you know, it is 100% politics why we didn't come, or why we didn't want to come.
Yeah, because it just, one, I got to get off the news, and at the same time, I want to be informed if we progress into the direction we're going to have some type of warning. But, I mean, like, I feel like the board gaming industry is freaking out right now as all these tariffs are hitting. I mean, for real, people who buy dice and other things get custom dice made.
People who get stuff done for tournaments. Yeah, exactly. It has screwed over a couple of plans.
Should be kind of not freaking out because there's not a lot we can do. But at the same time, it's should be noted. Yeah. Anyways, I get it. Thank you, people who did reach out and explain, you know, why you voted one way or another and the reason behind. And I put that behind me. And if I sounded angry, I apologize. But I do think it is time. And hopefully the next one after will be the one that, you know, goes outside of Europe. So
we'll get it next time. It's fine.
And I don't, I think we're going to be in the third trimester of Trump.
Anyways, moving off that topic because we don't need to tone down that rabbit hole. We'll see what 3 years brings us, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I'd like to really open this thing up. And really what I should say is we are very busy right now in my life. I have a senior kid. So if you've been with us from the beginning, you've pretty much watched her grow since she was about 4 to 5-ish mm-hmm. when we started this thing. And here we are. We have a senior graduating. We competed in the state finals for Color Guard, which was pretty weird from my perspective because this is going to sound really stupid, but I had last games or last events or last tournaments or last wrestling matches in high school. But they were all came at like a price. Like I broke my ankle. That was my last wrestling match. So I never had the pressure of this is your last one. Welcome to the show. This is your last one. And so I realized Saturday watching my daughter that she's out there experiencing something totally different than I ever had to do because my last one was always forced in a way that I didn't know was my last one, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
Cause she did say, she's like, I was super nervous. And I was like, and she's like, I never get nervous, but it was my last one. And I wanted to make it count. And, safe to say, I was really proud of her. She nailed all her stuff and did really well. And you could see some tears running down her face as she was performing, but they were happy tears, and you know, everything ends. So the journey is what counts. And so we're kind of in that process now. And in a month, I got like 3 graduations to go to, Steve. God. That's crazy. 3 graduations, I think, in 5 days. It's going to be nuts. But
you know what? You succeeded in your goal. None of the kids are pregnant. So
let's not pat ourselves on the back quite yet. But
that was goal number one.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So
they did finish. So that's good on both.
So anyways, yes, busy time. Like this is why kind of we had to record tonight instead of tomorrow night, like you wanted to do, because I have something almost all the time and I have every weekend packed until the end of May, starting this weekend.
Which is why Oklahoma Bowl is end of June. Give you some time to recover.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the year, I was like, I guess I did say, let's not do it at all in May because I'll be too busy. But I think we could have done it. And now I'm like, thank God we moved it. So
yeah, it was funny because Scott mentioned a while back, he's like, okay, well, you know, it's going to be senior year. I can't guarantee any weekend. I'm like, okay, well, we'll just do it in like June. He's like, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And then I mentioned it in January and he's like, what are you talking about? Why are we doing it in June? I'm like, because you said so. But that's okay. Scott's getting Alzheimer's.
At times. At times, yeah. I'm like, oh.
Well, we got so much stuff going on. It's just natural.
There is a lot of stuff going on. That is for sure. And everybody at work's kind of freaking out because of the same stuff that everybody else is freaking out about. So.
And you do work in a federal agency, pretty much.
Yeah. So just show up, do my job, and hopefully things will be okay.
Yep.
What else do we got to talk about? The league is going like, I'm going to bitch and say it was going terrible because my Vampires cannot stay healthy. I have suffered 32 casualties.
In how many games?
7 games.
Which is insane.
7 games, dude. Before last night's game, through week 1 through week 6 of games, I played a total of, I think, 1 or maybe 2 plays where I had even people on the field. Every other turn, I played down.
And is it mainly from other people, or are you biting yourself too much?
It's both. One game, I did a final block with a throw on turn 1, and I rolled double skulls. And, of course, you don't re-roll that on turn 1.
Yeah.
And, of course, I injured myself. I have been biting myself too, but people just been kicking the crap. It's like I have snotling armor and the dice are just always hot for somebody else. Played halflings last night and I have some blodgers and it felt like every time he hit me, he rolled a pow. And I'm sure that was not the case, but he rolled enough pows with deep root and stuff that I was like, oh my God. But thankfully, second half, deep root rolled nothing but bushes, and that was a lifesaver. So yeah. I only gave up 4 casualties to the halflings last night, and I scored a season high 2 casualties against the halflings.
Wow, look at you go.
1 in the opening play and 1 in like the final 2 plays. So like it was just wonderful, you know, like having all these casualties. That's just what's beautiful. I have 7 casualties total. I average 1 a game.
That's
because I got 2 last night to bring up my average. Not so good, my friend. No. Not so good.
No. See, I got Adepticon I went to, which we'll talk about in the first segment.
But with that said, I'm griping about Vampires.
Oh, yeah.
And I seem to bite my guys like 40% of the time. I'm still 4 wins, 1 draw and 2 losses. So
that's not bad.
I'm hanging in there, but man, yeah. I'm pretty tired of them. I almost wish they were like the old Vampires.
I got a tournament this weekend, the random rumble that Craig's putting on. I'm taking ogres, trying to do the Davies where I get 10 games in with every race because I got nothing else to pick teams by anymore.
Is that to show like you're incompetent through a 10 game period? you know, like sometimes you go to a tournament, you go 3-0 and you're like, whoa, I'm not gonna play them for a while. Yeah. I got a good ranking. And like then you play Amazons. 10 games and you're like, I'm 4-6. Mm-hmm.
No, definitely there's some of that, but it's just kind of go to enough tournaments and you don't know what to take. So anything that kind of gives me that guiding light, I'll take.
We're never going to be the guy that only plays like one or three, one to three teams all the time, no. Are we?
Like, shout out to Extreme, and he's getting right up there. In a couple of tournaments, he'll have the record for most games by a dwarf coach in the world. And I think he's 10 off now, but that might be not including last tournament. Can't remember. So that's amazing. But no. Like, if I had that team, it'd be the Claymores. And there's no way I'm just dedicating my whole life to Norse. That's, ugh. And like, yours would be the Blackhearts, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably where I'd go to, and I just can't. I see what he does, and trust me, the ninth grader in me, who loved the Dwarf Giants, wants to be what Extreme has done with his little Dwarf team. Mm-hmm. But man, I just couldn't do it.
I mean, it definitely allows you to learn a team well. You get multiple uniforms. You can play up the fluff. You know, you can make your own pitch. There's a lot of positives to it.
No, for sure.
I just can't. We are not those people.
No, I'm just not. So, yeah, I know. I looked through like some of the races, just like, I wonder what some of these totals are. Maybe I could be, play the most Nurgle or something like that. And I just looked and I'm like, dude, you can't do that. Just stop. Just
I have
stop.
The most just... high. I that's one reason I'll continue playing Pro Elves or Elf Union. I do like them, but I'm also the highest US coach with them. So that's going to keep me playing them.
I mean, that would probably be a race that if I played a lot of, would be that one. That's my favorite elf team of all the elves. So,
And we are going to Twin Cities Tango on April 26th. So if you're going to be in the Dallas area, come out. Gary would like to play. So if anyone is listening to this and would like to play with Gary, who is a very good coach.
He's going to kill you if he might turn people down. I'm just telling you.
He will turn people down. But if you have any inclination of going and don't have a team and you would like to get on a good team with Gary, because otherwise he's just going to go to Comic-Con and spend money.
Well, he kind of wants to go to Comic-Con too, to be truthful. Oh, so, yeah. But if you're sitting at home and go, oh, I know Gary and I like him and I've met him in Lubbock or I met him, blah, blah, blah. You can reach out to me and I can try to talk to him and see. So. he's kind of already said on Comic-Con, but at the same time, he does love Blood Bowl right now, way more than I do right now. So, he's had a couple of really good games in our league last couple games. So, nice. Anyways, with that said, what are we going to talk about today?
Today we're going to discuss my adventures at Adepticon for first segment. Then we're going to get into something a little bit different and talk about you playing Kill Team in the second segment. And then the third segment is just going to be kind of, I guess there were some questions on how I'm doing Spiky Cup with the Sevens this year and some other random Blood Bowl tournament or whatever stuff. So
just kind of a free for all. That has been like one of the most frequent questions is like, oh, the Sevens is really different, and for some of the new people it's just not quite grasping.
Yeah,
so I just want to go into it at a segment and then we can go back and go listen to episode 176. Yeah. Last segment, boom, that should explain it all. As for the Kill Team segment,
yeah,
we do play other games. It is a GW game. I thought, why not? I'm also gonna kind of hopefully it relates to the new person coming to Blood Bowl 2 as I just kind of talk about it and go over stuff, but we'll get to that during the segment. So, but if you don't care about Kill Team, just skip that segment.
Yeah. I think we might do a standalone episode, just so you guys know, about going to tournaments again, and especially for Oklahoma, because we had someone question or ask, and we've got a place on the website. Like, if you go to oklahomabowl.com, I've got kind of a written out thing of, first time coming, this is what to expect, blah, blah, blah. But it might be nice to have like a dedicated show. So like go over multiple things, and don't know. Haven't discussed with Scott yet, but if you see a weird episode pop up that's just about Oklahoma Bowl, you'll know what it is.
Okay. Sounds good. With nothing else to say, let's get to the segments.
Both Down is brought to you by Oklahoma Bowl Weekend. That's right, Oklahoma Bowl Weekend is back and bigger than ever, June 27th to the 29th, being held at the Hilton Garden Inn in Norman. Still very near to Wizard's Asylum, but we do have a hotel to ourselves this time. This year, Spiky Cup is being held on Friday night as a sevens event, and then Oklahoma Bowl is being taken over by Nuffleween and doing 3 games Saturday and 2 games Sunday. Ending each day early allows us more time to hang out, and if people need to catch flights or drive home on Sunday, you have even more time. Along with giving away the customary dice, we're also giving away ball tokens, turn and reroll tokens, stun markers, a Nuffleween-themed kickoff die, an Ugni-modeled version of the Big Deal as Jason and Freddy, and, well, you'll want to make sure you get your registration and rosters in as soon as possible, because we have a special exciting twist to the event we'll be unveiling soon. What's a tournament without giveaways and raffles? Not one we want to go to, that's for sure. Each attendee will get at least one raffle ticket, and we so far have 7 sealed GW teams, 2 sevens pitches, a fully painted Necro team, 6 teams from Coda Miniatures, 5 sets of Baron of Dice dice sets, and lots more, with more being added all the time. We're definitely making this one you won't want to miss, so go to OklahomaBowl.com for more information, get the rules, register, get a discount code for the hotel that's filling up fast, and get all the information you need for Oklahoma Bowl Weekend 13, the return of Nuffleween.
All right, we're going to talk about Steve's Adventures, and I believe this is in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, correct? It's in Wisconsin.
All right, and this was happened on the long weekend of, I know Steve was there on the 29th and the 30th. I believe this is like a 4-day con, Adepticon.
I think so. It's at least 3. I know that.
It's at least Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I keep wanting to say that it's Thursday because they always like share some information of like upcoming product, at least GW does, and gaming and stuff like that. So you flew out on Friday. Is that correct?
Yeah. I flew out in the morning and got to Milwaukee pretty early. So about 10 or 11-ish. Maybe 12. Anyways, I was able to check into the room early, so that was nice because I was rooming with Cowley, Sean Cowley, if you don't know, and he didn't get in until much, much later. So he's like, I put your name on the reservation, and you should be able to check in early. And they did. Noon, I got into the hotel room. I was very happy. Tried to rest a little bit because I got up super early to catch the flight, and I did notice the AC was not working. I was not a fan of that. So I called them and told them. They're like, okay, well, it's a hotel-wide thing, but we'll check and get back to you. I'm like, okay, cool. And I rested a little bit. Then I had time to kill and didn't really have much to see at the event. So I did find, I was kind of in, you know, in the downtown-ish area. So I found a bookstore there and walked to that. They had some good comics. I found an old DC romance that was really neat. They had some old pulp novels. I had to ask to find where they were. So found some Doc Savage and some Shadow and stuff. And a while back, I had bought a lot of Doctor Who books. So I knew that Doctor Who books can be valuable. So I got to looking because they had a small selection. And I just happened to look on eBay as to what, you know, the most expensive Doctor Who books were. And, like, there are some that are $100 or whatever. So I found one that was selling for like $170. I'm like, oh, I should check to see if they have that. And they did for like $3. I was like, oh, sweet. So I grabbed it, grabbed a couple other things. Didn't think anything about it. I checked later on. It was the hardcover that was worth that much, not the paperback. Paperback is like $5. So it's like, ah, yeah, okay. I've never, to be fair, And this is probably why it's so expensive. I've never seen a hardback Doctor Who book. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
After I finished up there, I walked to a place called the Safe House, which is a spy-themed restaurant. And kind of have to go down a back alley. It's got a painted mural that's really cool looking and a couple of doors. And I didn't know which door to go in. And luckily there's a guy who's like, oh, the entrance is over here. I'm like, okay, cool. So I walk in, tiny little entrance room, has a little table, looks like a small library. And he goes, okay, what's the passcode? I go, rutabaga? He goes, no, that's a good one. So how do we know you're not a spy? I'm like, I don't know. I just want to get some food. He goes, well, you're going to have to take a test. And he made me do Simon Says. So once I performed Simon Says well enough to his satisfaction, he's like, okay, you can go in. I'm just looking at a bookcase going, okay, how? And there's a knob. You pull the knob and the bookcase opens. So that's kind of neat. And I walk through and it's a dark cavern. It like goes to the right and you go down. And I didn't see an end. So I'm like, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. And as I get to what I thought was the end, doors automatically opened to the restaurant. So again, that was pretty neat. There was hardly anybody there, but
yeah, they didn't know the password.
Well, that's probably true. But I'm
not playing Simon Says. I'm just like, okay, I'm out.
You would just leave. I thought about it, but I'm like, I'm here. Despite there not being hardly anybody there, couldn't get a table because I didn't have a reservation. So I had to sit at the bar, which wasn't bad. But it's funny because the bar had a couple of TVs, a couple of them showing James Bond movies, and one was showing the lobby where people are doing Simon Says to get in. So you can watch people do that while you eat. Overall, food wasn't great, wasn't bad. I had the Cuban Missile Crisis, which was just a Cuban sandwich. And it was surprisingly cheap. Expected it to be a lot more, so that was nice. And it was a decent little museum-type thing. They had posters from, you know, old-time spy stuff and some badges and just different things. Not amazing. They said it's like the second largest spy museum in the world, and I didn't see it. Like, there wasn't a whole lot there, I'll say that.
Okay.
But it was still cool to go to.
All right. Yeah, that sounds like at least something different.
Yeah, that's why I went. I mean, why not? And after I did that, there was a statue of the Fonz, so I got to take a photo with that. Then,
man, I don't know if I could have done that.
Why?
I don't know. When I was a kid, and I mean like first, second grade, I thought Fonzie was really cool. Mm-hmm. And there was just like a point in my life, and it might have been third grade. I don't know. At some point, I was like, this is weird. And I just never really liked Henry Winkler ever since.
I like Henry Winkler.
And it's solely based off the Fonz. It's like this guy is like a 40-year-old man that lives in your garage. And you're like, he's around all these teenagers. And it's like, I was very young, but it was like a night and day transformation of like, I can't do this. Hmm. Kind of like Scooby-Doo. I was like, I'm done. I'm done with this. He's not talking. Dogs don't talk. And then like Inspector Gadget too. I was like, he's an idiot. I just don't care anymore. I'm done.
Okay. Well. I mean, to each their own. To be fair, I never really watched Happy
Days. I liked
Days
a lot of other dumb cartoons, so I don't know why I held my like childhood soapbox on those two.
You can't watch Scooby-Doo, but you're over there watching Jabberjaw. Like, oh, I love Jabberjaw.
Well, I think it was more like the formula of like they're going to stumble into always a mystery.
Yeah.
Those two morons are always going to like knock the guy out, and it's just like, let somebody else solve these problems.
It's repetitive.
Yeah.
But I mainly just did it for posting.
You know? No, I understand why you did it. I'm just saying, like, look, I'm the guy who took pictures with horses in Disney, you know, on those walls.
That's true.
So, like, I'm pretty stupid. I'm just saying, like, I just don't know. I hate the Fonz.
Well, little known fact. We got a shirt that says, I hate the Fonz. Now you can go on Reddit and with like, you know, unpopular opinion. I hate Fonz. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard like Henry Winkler's a nice guy in real life, but I don't, maybe he's not. I don't know.
He seems like a cool guy. I'll say that. But
I mean, I get it. He was just doing a job, but man, I was like, ugh, so weird.
So anyways, I go back to the hotel room and I go to relax a bit and still no AC. So I call down and they're like, oh, okay, well, we'll have maintenance come up shortly. And I get knock at the door, housekeeping. It's like, what? So I open up the door and housekeeping lady walks in and goes, hey, fans? It's like, I didn't ask for fans. I don't think that's going to help the AC. And she didn't speak English, so wasn't much help there. So I called down, and they're like, oh, well, sorry, well, you can't get it fixed. We just sent you up some fans, or we can refund you if you want. And, of course, there's no other place to go. They know. So we had fans for the next couple of days, which is fine because we were only there at night pretty much, and it was cool enough. But it's just dumb.
You've had, like, a lot of bad luck with hotels lately.
You know, it feels like you just go to a lot and things happen.
I guess so.
So I did go to Adepticon that evening. Didn't have anything to do.
I was wondering, like, why didn't you go to the con and walk around? And
oh, because I had nothing to do. Like, there was nothing there at the con that drew me. Like, I had to go. And I knew I'd be there two more days. So, but I got there. And they stayed open late, so it didn't really matter. It was only about 4 by the time I got to the con, because I walked around, got lunch, and then went there. And when I say arrested, I mean I used the restroom, and that's pretty much it.
Took care of a few urges.
Yeah, you know, ate some Reese's Pieces, as you do.
Right. Poor Sean Kelly. Did he get the defiled bed?
No. No bed was defiled.
Not one bed was defiled. All the beds were defiled.
So Adepticon was about half a mile down the road, which was nice. And
I like how you're grinning ear to ear to my comment, but you're not denying.
I'm just letting you go, man. This is what the people crave.
Okay.
So I did get to the convention center, and it was huge. It was very nice. I've not been to an Adepticon before. I know that previously they mentioned that there was kind of tight, not a whole lot of space. This one did not have that issue. It was enormous. 3 levels, checked in on the 3rd floor, no problem. That was another thing. The later I check in, the less people there were, and there was no line. So there's no problem. I walk around. I get to the main area that has all the booths. And, you know, giant tournament going on for Warhammer or whatever else is going on. And I found the GW booth. They did have a bunch of Blood Bowl stuff. Nothing I needed, obviously. They had some GW stuff, or Forge World stuff, too, which was nice. But again, nothing I had to have. And I didn't see anything new, or I was thought about buying a t-shirt, but there was no Blood Bowl t-shirts, and not really anything that was even tangentially related, unless I just got a t-shirt with paint on it, like Abaddon Black or whatever.
Uh-huh.
They had like that paint on it that just said Abaddon Black, like the bottle. That was the closest I got to buying a t-shirt. So I walked around, saw Impact, saw Baron of Dice, saw just a lot of stuff. And I realize this is not a tournament. It's not a convention for me because I don't care about the other games. Like, I don't play anything else. I thought maybe I'd run into a Blood Bowl person or two. The only person I saw that I knew, besides like Tom from Impact and Steve from Baron of Dice, saw Stephanie Phillips, the writer for DC and Marvel, who I just happened to know because she paints Warhammer figures, and she's on TikTok. And I was like, is that her? Like, it's a model. It's a attractive woman in at a GW booth. This does not oftenly happen, I'm guessing. And saw the tattoos. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So I messaged her afterwards. I'm like, hey, was that you? I didn't want to be creepy. And she's like, oh, no, it was me. I just don't tell anyone because I was ditching work. I'm like, okay.
And then so now you're telling everyone, and you went from, I don't want to approach you in public in front of everybody in a public place because it'd be creepy. So I'm sliding into your DMs. And here's a couple of extra pictures from Steve-O if you're interested.
Wasn't doing that. But she did post that she was there later. So I felt fine about saying it.
Okay.
But yeah, not a whole lot for me. It's a giant area. I walked around, took a ton of photos, saw a ton of people. Just, if I only play Blood Bowl, it's a lot of stuff that doesn't pertain to my interests.
Okay.
Then came back to the hotel, Cowley came in, and we ended up going to a pub down the road and got cheese curds. And those were amazing. So like true Wisconsin cheese curds.
Nice.
I think that was it for that day. Then the next day, on Saturday, we had breakfast at a diner, had some weird type of mascot. And, of course, wouldn't you know it, Michael Lewis was there. So he saw us coming and walked up and was like, hey, guys, and gave us big hugs and tried to sit with us and then abandoned his friends. And then they left and he left with them. But I did see a dead bird on the way. So that was on the sidewalk, and I was hoping that was a good prophecy for my casualties for the day.
Okay.
So get to the tournament, and very well run, no issues, didn't expect there would be. Mike puts on a great event, Mike Mueller. And we had 52 people in total. I think that was for the first day. They might have had... Because it's two separate tournaments and one tournament both. So you can play in both days with the same team. You can play in one day. You can play in the other day. Or you can play in both days with two different teams. However you want to do it. So I think it was 52 total for both.
You're saying I can play day one, go undefeated with Dwarves, play day two with...
whatever you want.
Chaos Renegades, go undefeated, and I would be the overall winner for the weekend?
I don't know. I don't think so, because you were not the same race for both days.
Okay.
But since I wasn't anywhere close to that, I didn't really pay attention.
Okay. But in theory,
yes,
you could have two first place trophies if that happened.
Yeah.
Then somebody else that maybe went 4-2 with Lizardmen for both days is the overall champion.
So I'm putting it out there. Like I wanted to walk away with three trophies. I was just going for casualties, straight up. Halflings with two trees with block, deep root, a chef, a couple of rerolls, and two halflings with sneaky git. That was my team. That's all I wanted, was to hurt people. And it felt dirty doing it, but it's just one of those things like, okay, you can go ahead and score as much as you want, because it just makes me hit you more. But it's like getting a hand job at a nightclub. It's dirty, but still feels good. And if you get what you want out of it, then you're happy.
That's weird. So it felt like a hand job at a nightclub.
Because it feels dirty. Like, you know you shouldn't be doing it, because you should be trying to put up a defense to stop them from scoring.
Is this alluding to something between you and Sean that happened, maybe? With the fans on?
Yes, because we went to a nightclub somehow, in your analogy.
Maybe they had AC. You're like, well, it's kind of dark and dirty here. Okay. Anyways, so you went to casualties both days.
Yep. That's what I was doing. That's all I was trying for. First round, go up against Derek, Kid Richard. He's playing his orcs. Great guy from Canada. We don't think we ever played each other, but we've seen each other a lot. My chef got two rerolls first half and one reroll second half. It was very sunny. And I ended up receiving. And both trees got rooted first play as second half. Like, just second half. One, reroll, one. Other tree, one, reroll, one. Just like, ugh. But, and these are going to be very bare bones recaps because it didn't matter.
Sure. Right.
Deep Root ended up getting three casualties. Regular tree got one. And one of my halflings got one on the both down. So that was fun. I did lose 0-3, and we had 5-5 casualties, which realistically is really good for me because of bonus points. It puts me very low because I didn't get any bonus points. Because I didn't even get more casualties than him. Ended up grabbing pizza for lunch. They had a little pizza kiosk on the third floor. And expensive, as food is at conventions, but pretty good. Round two, I went up against a goblin team being coached by Min Win, who is one letter away from Vin Win, my childhood best friend. Yeah. So, thought that was interesting. On this one, we got sweltering heat, so more crazy weather. I got two rerolls from him the first half. I got none the second half, which sucked. Now, one thing that this tournament does have are the special play cards. So, whenever you start the tournament, you grab a card and you can use that. And if you do, then your opponent gets that card. So if you don't use yours and they do, then you'll end up with two cards the next round, etc.
Oh.
Well, part of the reason I went for just casualties with an easy team is I didn't want to learn the rules for all the star players they had, because they have a crap load of star players from all the years of Super Bowl. And I didn't want to worry about the cards. I just want to do my own thing. And wouldn't you know it, the card that I got was Nope, basically canceling another card. So with his goblin teams, he tried to throw his card down to get an extra bribe. And I was like, no, you don't need any more. Let's see. He ended up receiving...
So you got his card and he got yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was able to get a bribe in future games if I wanted it.
Okay.
So he ended up receiving, which, you know, I was not a fan of, but didn't think it'd be that big of a deal. As you do, I put Deep Root on the line and the trees on the line. Because, yeah, he's goblins, but, you know, he's got the one ball and chain, and what are the odds it's going to do anything? Well, he sets up the ball and chain right in front of Deep Root. First roll, a three, hits Deep Root, pushes, nothing. Second roll, a three, hits Deep Root, knocks him down. Third roll, a three, hits Deep Root and casualties him. First freaking play. And I'm just like, oh, come on. First four turns for each of us was just back and forth. Casualty for him, casualty for me, casualty for him, casualty for me. Ended up losing 2-0, and I had 7 casualties against him having 6. So, at this point, pretty much everyone knows what I'm going for. I haven't been keeping it a secret. But going into round 3, I am 2 casualties behind Ryan, who is playing his dwarf team, I think? Man, Snotlings? I should know this.
Hmm? The Snotlings? Was dwarves Snotlings?
What?
Was it dwarves or Snotlings?
I thought Ryan was playing dwarves.
You might be right. I thought at some point you mentioned there was a Snotling team there, but
there was a couple of Snotling teams. So here's the thing. He got 10 in one round.
That's what it is.
Because he went up against Snotlings.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was dwarves. He goes up against Snotlings. Yeah. And guess what? He gets 10 casualties. So he was 2 ahead of me, and we were, you know, bantering back and forth. And then I see Min go up and sit down across from him. I was like, oh, God damn it. So I flipped him off. I'm like, you don't need goblins.
And yeah, that's great for dwarves, goblins and snotlings.
Yeah, so I thought for sure I was getting screwed on the casualties for the day. Because I sat down across from Brian, who had Necro. So again, it was very sunny. So all 3 games today have been crazy weather. Which didn't really matter too much, but still interesting. On this one, I got 3 rerolls from him the first half and 1 the second half. But Deep Root got a whole 0 casualties. Not a 1. I got a halfling to get a werewolf, so that was cool. I ended up losing 3-0, but I did get 7 casualties to his 1.
Wow.
Ended up tying with Ryan. So we weren't really sure what was going to happen because we don't know. I don't know what the tiebreakers are or if it's like just record, because obviously his record and all of his tiebreakers are much better than me, but didn't matter because someone else who played Snotlings with Morg ended up getting 12 in that last round coming out of nowhere when he played against a damn Snotling team. So, that sucked. I had to go up against Necro, Orc, and Goblins and missed out on most casualties by, I think, 2.
Wow.
I was not happy. But it is what it is. Okay. I still had the overall to go for, and it was day 2. That evening, ended up going to Milwaukee Chop House with Cowley, Brian 2, JJ 2, and Michael Lewis. Fancy steak place, cost like $70 for the steak. Was not worth it for the steak. Like, just not. Now, we had calamari to start off with, and that was amazing. But the steak was just meh.
I think you should get a fried steak because you like the fried cheese. You like the fried calamari. Think about it, Steve. Fried steak.
Well, I haven't had chicken fried steak in a long time. But no, I just wanted like a good steak. I tried the dry age prime. I don't know what it was. It's not my thing. I'm more of a sirloin guy. I don't know.
Yeah, stick. I would stick to what you know.
Yeah. But it was a once a year type of splurge. So whatever. Sure. Ended up going to bed because I was just tired. Had to got up early the previous night, didn't sleep too well. Two nights ago, then didn't sleep great the previous night, all the fun stuff. Next morning, didn't have time to really grab breakfast or anything, so just had a couple of blueberry muffins from the hotel, and they were surprisingly good. So, couldn't complain with that. First round, going up against Jacobson. And again, I apologize if I got that name wrong. I thought it was something else, and he told me Jacobson, and then I didn't want to question him again because I didn't think I heard it right, and I was like, the last names, or I don't know. Anyways, he had ogres, but when I say he had ogres, what he really had was squigs. He had an amazing squig-looking team. So every ogre were giant squigs with, you know, riders and all this stuff. And they were just exquisitely painted. And then all of his Noblars were also little tiny squigs. So it was really awesome. Rerolls stolen, not so great. I got one first half, second half got nothing. And again, it was very sunny. So 4 events in a row. This time, on turn 2 of the first half, both my trees took root. So, that was not great. On turn 4, I knocked down one of his ogres on the first turn, and he could not stand up that ogre for 4 turns. And I wasn't making fun of him, but I was just like, well, that really sucks. I shouldn't have said anything, because second half, turn 3... Deep Root ends up getting double skulls, and then he decided not to stand for 4 turns. I think I got my karma there. And by turn 7, all 3 of my trees were down, and all 3 refused to stand up. He only beat me 1-0 here. I did try to score, and it just didn't work. Like, the one time I tried to score, I threw the halfling, and it went backwards, 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 into a tackle zone, failed the landing, killed himself. So it's like, okay, I'm not doing that again. Screw it. Ended up getting 6 casualties to his 6 casualties. So again, keeping my points down low, I guess, is a good thing. Round 5, I got to go up against Michael Lewis. And he was playing Dark Elves, which, awesome, because nothing better for a team who wants to cause a lot of casualties than elves who will just dodge away from me.
Right.
And it was cool because he was playing his Chaos Cup Legacy team. So you were on there. I was at home, I think, because I was broken. But he put Tackle on Wakelin, so I had to keep going after Wakelin to kill her.
So, hey now, don't mean to hurt.
Rerolls, first half I stole one, and second half I stole four. Because the second day we got to pick new cards. The card I got was basically a sausage stand or something. So it was an additional halfling chef for a half, but it only worked on sixes. So I was, wow, able to steal another one. So that was fun.
That'd be so frustrating.
On my turn three, I ended up fouling his witch elf, and I got double ones. I didn't argue the call, and I got a one. So
sounds about right.
That sucked ass. Deeproot ended up with three casualties that game. Michael was annoying me because he was actually trying to play the game. And I kept trying to, like, I'm not flat out stating if you just score once, you win the game. But I'm kind of intimating, like, well, look, dude, I'm not going to be going for the ball. I'm just trying to hurt you. Score, please. He did end up beating me 4-0. And I got 6-0 on casualties. So I was happy about that. Felt like I could have done more, but just wasn't meant to be. For lunch, Michael had been volunteering because he likes to do the Adepticon, and they give you a food voucher, I guess. So he had extra money on the food voucher. So we end up getting a place that's supposed to have really good chicken fingers there. And they were fine. The French fries are really good, really well seasoned. Then my final round, I thought I was safe because for overall at least, because just chatting didn't seem like anyone else was close. And then someone mentioned they had played a Snotling team and gotten 10 casualties. So I have no idea what I'm at now. Like, I know I'm ahead of Ryan. I know that that's the main thing I needed to worry about. The guy who had the most first day did not come back second day. Or he played a different team, I think. Can't remember. And final round, I go up against vampires. I didn't get any cheapo games except goblins, and they took out Deeproot first turn. So screw that. So this was Zach. He's actually one of the friends of Jeffro's son. So that was cool. I got one reroll each half. Not a big deal. The good thing was he was going for most touchdowns. I was like, cool, go for it, because I want to hurt you. He ended up scoring 6 times. He beat me 6-0. I was knocking his people out left and right like crazy, and he was not getting them back. He was overall 13 for 32 on KOs, but most of those were like he was getting 1 out of 6 and then 2 out of 7. And then the second half at the end, he just started getting everybody back. So it evened out in the end. Didn't feel that way. But his kickoff results, blitz, solid defense, blitz, officious ref, which took down Deeproot. He stayed on the pitch, but he was down. changing weather, so that was fine. Oh, then a solid defense, and then a quick snap. So I got 1 out of those.
Wow.
Here's the thing. Every kickoff, he would put 3 thralls on the line. I got 3 dice on those 3 thralls every single time.
Let me tell you what would happen if that was my league game. Casualty knockout.
I got 5 casualties against him. 3 3-die blocks per kickoff times 6. 18 chances of just those. With Mighty Blow +1 and Mighty Blow +2 because of Deeproot. And I got 5. And I thought for sure I was just not going to get it. I was like, I'm out. I'm not going to get day 2. I'm not going to get overall. I was just so annoyed. Because, again, I don't like just letting people score. But I was going for most casualties. So if I got it, I'd be happy. But if I don't get it, not going to be happy. did end up getting it. I got most casualties for day two with 17 and most overall with 36.
Nice.
So I was happy with that. I was still upset I didn't get day one, but I didn't go against the Snotling team either, so whatever. Just want to give a huge shout out to everyone there. It was a great time, great seeing Jeffro and Phil and all the guys from the Chicago area, which normally we don't see so much now because Chaos Cup isn't in Chicago. And Mike Mueller put on a great tournament, didn't have any issues. The awards were awesome. Did I show you the front of the awards?
No, you have not.
I think I took a photo of the back of the awards. One second.
Steve is reaching up to grab his awards. Yeah, oh, look at this.
I didn't think about it, but like the back of the award is just like a gold medallion with a square thing.
Yeah.
But the front of the award, I should have taken a photo.
Oh, well, that's night and day different.
I know, isn't it?
That's really cool.
We need to take a photo and put it on both
days. It looks kind of like some type of crest you would see on a building in like Warhammer or something, but it says Adepticon in it. Now that is really cool.
Yeah, it's basically like a Roman legionnaire helmet with a skull inside of it and then cogs or stuff around it.
Yeah, that's really neat.
But yeah, I got two of those bad boys and they're heavy.
Well, again, congrats on that.
I wanted three, but I'm fine without. There was a cool food hall right across the way, so I grabbed some dinner there. Tried to make it back to the airport with plenty of time just to goof around. Flight ended up getting delayed 2 hours. So not a huge delay, but since I was there early anyways, because I had nothing else to do, I got to hang out in an airport for 5 hours. So.
Oh, that sounds awful. Did you read your Doctor Who book?
No. I read all the comics I bought, and then I did the write-up for this, and then kind of just played some games and stuff. But, yeah, it was a great time. I think you'd have a lot more fun because you play other games.
Probably so. I mean, I was kind of jealous more for the, like, I wish I was there to walk around and have some money to spend. So.
Yeah, and like I said, I really wanted to buy something from the Warhammer store, but when there's nothing Blood Bowl besides just random Blood Bowl stuff I can buy, what's the point? You know, if they had any t-shirt that had Blood Bowl or any prints or anything, I would have snatched it up in a heartbeat, but there just wasn't.
So in the past, I know Mike Mueller did like the scares, like the Chicago Bears, the scares,
yeah.
And there was models.
Yeah.
Was there a model for that this year?
There was a model for that this year.
Who was the character?
Do
you remember? He's now reaching into his bag of goodies to pull out his model. I hope it's his model.
Yeah, it's my model. I don't remember who it was.
Well, it's always some Chicago Bear.
Yeah, but I can't remember.
Okay.
I didn't pay attention.
Is it Caleb Williams, like Scarab Williams?
The 85 Bears.
They're all 85 Bears always?
They should be, I think.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they're not. Again, I don't pay attention sometimes, so.
Okay. That's fair. But you had a good time?
Oh, yeah, of course. And Milwaukee, or Wisconsin, I guess, for lack of better words, makes my 26th state.
Wow. Sounds like a strange book about you, like Steve Campbell, the 26th state.
It was kind of, yeah. Like a 70s spy thriller.
Could be. All right. Anything else you want to say about your event? Did you, anything special happen, like in your hotel room or anything?
No. As much as you want it to, it never does.
Man, only a few people know the magic of Steve.
Yes, thank God. Not everybody can handle it.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Kelly's a nice guy. I don't think he can handle you, though.
Don't need to blow people's minds. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. You're too much for him.
There's only so much one man can take.
Unless you're Steve Campbell. He can take a lot of men.
obscure reference. Oh, Patrick? I can take Patrick.
Don't get it.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. Somebody out there might, and probably not.
Okay. Well, let us know if you know what that means. Say the quote again.
Patrick? I can take Patrick.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, this is not Three Die Block. We're not doing that at outros or anything.
Email us if you know what that's from, because I sure don't. I don't. Steve can tell me later if somebody answers that.
I can even tell you. You won't know.
Google it. So. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Don't tell us. Maybe somebody will surprise us. If you have nothing else, then I guess we'll wrap this segment up and we'll come back and talk about our next subject. Now, if you're listening, the next subject's Kill Team. And if you don't care at all and you're already like, these guys are sold out because they're playing other games and Blood Bowl's the only game I care about, just skip to segment 3. We put the times in our notes. So just skip there.
Surprisingly, yes. We still do that.
So go ahead and skip if you want to. Otherwise, just listen to what you think.
Okay, back. And this time, Scott's going to do all the talking because I don't play Kill Team and he does.
So the date was April 5th. I decided... So here's one thing. You can play games forever with your friends, especially like some type of competitive games, and that is great. But sometimes when you're like just a few people interpreting the rules and you think you're right, a lot of times you're wrong. And that's like the main reason why I know Steve today is because I decided to go to some HeroClix tournaments because I wanted to make sure we were playing right at home with my buddies. Mm-hmm. And thus went to a few tournaments, met Steve, yada, yada, yada. Here we are years later. So I felt it was time to go try a Kill Team tournament. Now, it fell on a Saturday where it was like the only like date night I was going to get with Jennifer. So I was ready to bolt if needed. Like if I was the odd man, I was just going to not play. Et cetera, et cetera. And if somebody would drop with me, we might not even play all three rounds.
Yeah.
I'm about to say stuff, but I don't mean it mean or anything towards like Kill Team or Warhammer. I just for sure know that they're like trying to compare like apples and candy bars. Like, Blood Bowl is a lot of like trickle down awards and everybody's, we have drawings for things at a lot of times for tournaments. So there's valid reasons to stick around all day and play games, even if you're not doing well.
Yeah.
So I'll get into that a little bit later, but I just want to talk about the environment. I just wanted to go play some games. I knew I'd probably get my butt kicked. I believe there's like 30 something current teams in the current state of Kill Team right now. And every team has their own set of rules, and it's not like Blood Bowl where, oh, you get four blitzers and they have block and stand firm or something. It is, here's the rules. This team cheats around the rules this way. It's kind of how it feels. That's what I actually heard somebody describe it that way.
That makes sense though, because then it's kind of, it'd be like Blood Bowl if it's like, well, here's how to play Blood Bowl. However, goblins can take these things called bribes. And halflings have these things called trees, and, they're kind of
it's like that, but every team has, like, four separate little op things that they can use, and so they're kind of like little power thing,
Okay.
Anyways, without getting too much into it, because I'm scared I'm going to say TAC op when I mean, like, special ops and stuff like that, because, again, I'm not super versed in this. I have about 13, 14 games if you take the old edition rules and the current edition rules of Kill Team. Anyways, just wanted to go out and play. It was a good day to do that. The tournament at Wizards was only 10 deep. A few of the Blood Bowl guys that I knew were also going. So I knew three other people there besides myself. Like, I've had them over to my house and stuff like that. So, like, I felt more comfortable because I knew some people there. Some guys drove down from Tulsa. Evidently, Tulsa has a great Kill Team community with some great players. So there's some guy named Eddie who I guess is like 10th in the United States or something like that, because in some type of ranking system that they have. So Tulsa is known for some really good players, and the two really good players from Wizards was also there. And then there was four of the people I knew. So there was 10 of us, kind of a good crowd just to go. There wasn't anything odd or strange. I was the oddest weird person there. So I had to like come into this and, you know, do the whole spiel of, hey, I'm new. I think I know the rules. I probably don't. Just stop me, explain to me what's going on. And I know every team has their like four special powers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And just tell me how you're kicking my butt as we go through this.
So question for you.
What's that?
So kill team, let's go back to the beginning a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's a squad-based team, right?
So I've never played actual Warhammer, but everybody says you need a giant army for Warhammer. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a version of Warhammer 40K. It's called Combat Patrol, which you buy like a box of units and that's your whole army. So it's a little smaller way to get into kind of a Warhammer-ish type game. And then there's kill team. So what you have here is you have tables set up already with all the terrain set up. Mm-hmm. And then you go to your table and you would have a main like ops. And there's like little points on the map where you have to go and like can't remember what the first one was, but the second one was going to upload information at these points. And you can keep loading information every turn, once per turn. And then when you're ready, you can basically cut off the power for that. And if you uploaded three times and you cut the power off to it, you get 3 points for it towards your team. Okay.
So they have like built-in objectives that are
right
based and there's on like specific things, or is they
there's like 9 missions in like the card pack.
Okay.
So you could actually randomize it. And I think that's what they did.
Okay.
And there's maps. They have like ways you can randomize the maps too. So you could also set up your own maps, but I think they just took stuff from what is provided by GW.
And this is like generally a 3x3 table or whatever?
It is. No, it's not 3x3. It's like a rectangle thing type deal. And it just depends which way the map orientates where like, You might start sideline to sideline if you're talking Blood Bowl terms or end zone to end zone. It just depends. You roll off for initiative. You get to decide if you're going to go first or set. Like you're going to set your guys, like which side of the board you're going to take. And then if you're going to set up first or second. And then there's a process where eventually you do kind of almost like a rock, scissors, paper. And every one of them gives you like one extra thing. One of them's like extra equipment. One's move one guy for free, right from the beginning. And then that determines actually who goes first.
Okay.
Since I don't know what I'm doing, I always picked mine randomly. And I luckily always won the rock, scissors, paper because I didn't even know what I was picking. And so both matches I played, I went first.
Is it advantage to go first? And again, like this, I'm trying to put everything back into Blood Bowl terms, you know?
Yeah. So in kill team, at the end of it all, you score points, you add up your scores. The most you can actually score is 21 points if you maxed out everything. So there is a kill ops card, which looks at like, oh, Steve is playing Space Marines, Angels of Death, and he has 6 figures. And Scott is playing Commandos, let's say. And I have 10 little figurines. And if you kill 3 of them, we check like this chart and it might go, Steve gets 2 points on the kill off. And since Scott killed 3, but Steve's guys are more powerful, Scott gets 4 points. And then you check that kill off. The most you can get if you wipe out a whole squad is 5. And then if you have more kills than the other guy on the point system with the little kill ops card, you get an extra bonus point.
Okay.
So that's how you can get 6.
This is point driven.
Yes. Okay. You're looking at points. Every team has like you can take this many little agents.
Okay.
And that's how many little dudes you put out there.
Okay, cool.
Another way to score points is like you have your own secret mission that you don't tell people about until you reveal it. Usually there's 4 turning points, so big 4 like long turns. Mm-hmm. The first one usually everybody just sneaks around and moves their players because you can't score any points. And then after that, you know, all hell breaks loose, people shooting or going to their objectives. So you have a secret objective that you can, it will tell you like reveal this when this happens or whatever. You could get a maximum of 6 points on one of those. And then you could get a maximum 6 points on the actual scenario that we're both working towards.
Okay.
That's where you can get 18 points. And then you secretly select one of those three options as your primary op. And if you, let's say I wiped out your team, Steve, and I scored all 5 points plus the bonus six. And then I flip over and I go, oh, my secret objective was kill op. I would score half those points rounded up.
Okay.
So that's how you could get 21.
Hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Again, I know there's some people out there playing Blood Bowl and I'm like, here's what I do know. I do feel like it is a harder game to get into than Blood Bowl, but my perspective is also very, very unfair because I've played some form of Blood Bowl since ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels secondhand to me why this feels like really complex. And again, I didn't know all these teams. So I took the Plague Marines. So it's Nurgle Space Marines just because one, there's only six operatives and they're kind of tougher. And I thought, like, I don't need a team with 10 models because the last thing I want to do is come to a tournament and screw somebody over by us only playing, like, three turns because I have 10 little models to move around.
Oh, sure.
So yeah. I went with them. The teams in Kill Team a lot of times are referred to as elite teams if they only have six models because usually it means they're tougher. They're like Space Marines and stuff like mm-hmm. that. A lot of those guys can, like – if I played an orc, I could only shoot once per action and then do my little movements. While I like Space Marines, if they have bolt guns, they can shoot twice, which is a huge advantage potentially. Anyways, six guys versus 10 guys doesn't mean one team's unbalanced at all. It's usually a pretty fair fight according to really good players. So yes, I took my Plague Marines into this game. And round one, I played a guy named Jeremy, and nice guy from Tulsa. He knew the rules very well. He was playing I have it pulled up here somewhere.
Asterion.
He was playing a team I knew about, but I didn't really even know that they were still legal. It was called a Void Dancer Troop Kill Team. They're basically if you ever see in like the GW lore of Warhammer Harlequins.
Yeah.
Or elves, mm-hmm. and they were painted up like Harlequins, and they're super, like, they can move around and do extra movements for free and this and that, and they were very difficult. To be honest, these guys were playing against, man, they're setting up their little dudes, because the way you put out your little models in Kill Team is like, going back to who goes first or not, you set up one third of your units, and then the next guy sets up one third of his units, and then one third and one third. That way you can, somebody just didn't push all models to one side. And then somebody else, you know, goes, oh, he's going there. I'm definitely doing this. Some of those guys were like pre-measuring stuff, 'cause they knew where they wanted to be. And I'm just like, oh, I'll just put these two guys together.
I'm just going to wander through the forest and see what I find.
It's pretty much, play Jeremy, really nice guy. I did find out, like, at home, we were playing some of the, I think it's pronounced Astartes team, which is the Space Marine type teams, have this Astartes power where they can shoot, whether they have a engage action or, I say stealth action, but that's not what it is, a cover action or something like that, because you can change your states to be, like, be sneaky versus, you know, like in stealth so people can't shoot you versus I'm out here guns blazing.
Right.
And I found out we were playing a rule wrong this whole time. And we've been playing it at home for last 4 months wrong. So number one, I was already happy in game one that I came because I was like, oh, I've already learned something correctly.
Yeah.
Because I was like, hey, bro, can't I do this? And he's like, no. And I was like, okay, I know you know the rules. Can you explain to me why, though? Because I don't know. Obviously, I don't know the rules. And he was really nice about it and explained it. Long story short, we went through all the matches. We got through all our turning points. I ended up the game was way closer than I thought. It was 11-16. I lost. But I think I had fun. I think it's one of those moments where, like, I enjoy the game, but I don't know if I just don't know. There's just not enough. And his team like totally took me by surprise because, again, he was really cool. And that's what a lot of these kill teams guys do. As soon as you're set up, man, they're really quick to let you know, like, hey, I'm just letting you know I have this power, this thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then this guy has this, this, and this. So you kind of are aware of these things and not get, like, tricked and gotcha'd. Like, oh, I snuck around the corner. I didn't tell you about this, but this guy has a Milton gun that can blow you away. There wasn't that. These guys were really, really open with everything about who has what. It's just my brain couldn't catch, you know, 20 different things. And it might not have been 20 things. It might have been 10, but it felt like 25,000 things.
But it's all new. Yeah.
It's all new. And I don't know my team that well, let alone his.
I mean, like I said, that's the reason I took Halflings, because I don't have to think. Are they WYSIWYG?
They're supposed to be, I guess, at big GW events. These guys are very loose at our tournaments at Wizards, because they want everybody to just come and play. They said, like, you don't have to paint them.
Okay.
You know, now so my like team, us,
somewhat.
So my team, what I've done over the years is I have saved all my little number brackets, because I use those Slater numbers for a lot of my Blood Bowl teams that I get from Tom from Impact Miniatures. And I've kept them even though I ran out of the numbers. I was like, I'm never going to use these letters. Why do I keep them? Started playing Kill Team. I label all my guys up front.
That's awesome.
That way, nobody gets tricked, including my dumbass self, because I know, oh, this is my boss, not this guy. So I'll put some type of code name on there on my miniature just to let myself know, like, you know, this is this guy, this is that guy. And then, like, every team kind of has, like, a lineman type position where it's just a Nurgle Space Marine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put a name on there because I know, like, if he doesn't have a name, he's just a regular Plague Marine Warrior, you know, nothing fancy, anything like that. So I played our first matchup, then we went to lunch. We didn't have a lot of time because Ben and Shane's game went very long. So we walked over, we did the Walk of Shame, went over to Kane's, had some chicken. I was like, man, I don't know. And I was thinking, like, I'm having a pretty decent time, but this tournament also backs up to we still have me, Alan, Brock, and Jen have a game night every first Friday night of the month. Mm-hmm. And we usually stay up really late, ridiculously late playing games. So we're exhausted the next day. Of course, the Wizard tournaments are always on the first Saturday of the month. So if I stay up late, then it's like going to a Blood Bowl tournament the next day and you're, you know, and I really feel like this is more thinky, especially for me, since this is something new. And like, I was already told the guys, I was like, hey, if anybody wants to bail out of this next round, because I did not want to just drop the tournament.
Leave them hanging.
Now, Warhammer people, it feels like they don't care because somebody gets them like a full win because of the bye round or something like that. But I still didn't want, I know there might be somebody else there who's not very good player and all they did is come up here to play. And I didn't want to be the guy that drops and then they have to just sit there and watch.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So Ben said, it just depends on my round, but there's a great chance because I'm not feeling well anyways that I might want to drop the next round. And I said, okay, we'll talk afterwards. So, I mean, if I'm being honest, I'm kind of a little bit thinking with my penis here because I don't get to see Jennifer too often. Everybody thinks we hang out all the time, but with her business and stuff, I mean, I legit only see her maybe 3 to 4 days a week. So it's a weekend with no kids and no kid events. And the last one for a while with nothing on the weekends is pretty important to me. So
yeah.
We went ahead and played the round. I played a guy named Justin from also Tulsa. He played what's called a Rekka crew team orcs or something like that. Rekka orcs. They're a bunch of orcs with missiles and stuff. And their little secret power is their big thing that they want to do is roll crit hits, which is we're rolling D6s and they want sixes. And if they roll sixes, they get these things called Rekka points. And then they immediately gain them when they roll a crit, and they can immediately spend them as soon as they gain them. And basically what it does is if somebody shoots a missile at me and they roll 2 crits and 2 hits, that means they also had 2 misses, but they got 2 Rekka points. They could turn those other 2 misses into hits. So if you roll crits, it's very powerful.
So crits as in sixes?
Crits is when I say a crit hit.
Yeah.
I'm saying a six, a natural six.
So if they're attacking you, are they attacking you with six dice?
Depends on the weapon. That's how kill team works.
Okay, like because if you said they had two crits, two hits. So that meant they had two misses.
Oh, I'm sorry. So they, let's say they rolled six dice.
Okay.
They rolled two sixes, a four, and a five. And let's say they hit on a four plus.
Right. Okay. Now I got you.
And they had two misses. Immediately, they gained those two Rekka points. And they immediately could spend them to turn those two misses into hits, hitting me six times.
That seems really good. Yeah.
It is. I've seen it not work where the people don't roll crits. I mean, the same Nurgle Plague Marine, when we played at home, beat the crap out of this Rekka team because he didn't roll any crits. And anyways, long story short, he was rolling a lot of crits. And in kill team, every little operative gets three dice defense. So at the most, I could have stopped three hits at most. And so when things do like, you know, 15 damage still comes through, you know, it's like, oh, Jesus Jones and stuff like that. So this game was not as close as the other one. We managed to ended up, we didn't hear them call time. So we ended up playing it out. And then they were like, hey guys, you need to kind of wrap it up. We're like, we're almost done. And they're like, yeah, we called time 10 minutes ago. And we're like, oh, I believe it was either 16-3 or 18-3. Either way, I got my butt kicked. He blew out. He ended up just killing all my Nurgle guys. I hardly did anything to him. The both guys from Tulsa, I didn't get to talk to Justin at the time. I messaged him several days later on the Discord channel, and he really was super. I mean, it's a little bit, at least the Tulsa guys are a little bit like the Blood Bowl guys. They want people to play.
Yeah.
So they're super caring. And I was like, I know you can't tell me what I did wrong everywhere, and no matter what would have happened, we could have played that game probably 50 times and I probably lost every one of them. I was like, did you see something like super like crazy? And he's like, well, number one, it felt like you set up, but it almost felt like you didn't know what you were doing. And I was like, because I didn't, you know? And you know, he's like, I played several practice games. I don't know if he was one of them, but three of those guys for sure went up to Adepticon and I guess did fairly well. Hmm. He's like, I had plenty of games against the Plague Marines, so I knew you were slow. So that's why I took a lot of range guys. Because in Kill Team, you can have extra operatives. So you could have 30 like a models. Basically like a sideboard. Yeah. Huh. So like if your team says you can have three heavy rocket launchers, the box might only come with one. But you can kit bash or buy another box, and then you have those options. For example, I think he had – this team is really like six models, mm-hmm. the Rekka crew, plus a couple of bomb squigs that want to charge you and blow themselves up. But I think he had every bit of 12 models. That way he could – against me, he knew I was really slow. And most likely for me to get to him, I would have to get out in the open. So he took a bunch of range guys.
Yeah.
And like in other matchups, he might switch those range guys out to guys with big giant hammers to charge and do melee combat. So you essentially do have that.
Like if Blood Bowl allowed us to put a couple of people with tackle on the side, I was like, well, I'm going up against a stunty team. I better bring in these tackle guys.
The best way I could describe it is let's say the human team had an option and you got four blitzers, but up to four of them came with block or up to four of them came with tackle. And then like before your matchup, you say, oh, I'm playing Amazons. And you're like, I'm going to keep one block and I'm going to take three tackle ones.
Yeah.
Cause they have a little bit different skills.
Okay.
The build out's different. And of course kill team, most of the kill teams don't have one box that just satisfies all your needs. So if you're, and these guys are crazy like me, like with Blood Bowl, I buy two teams of stuff because I want extra linemen. Those Tulsa guys, they buy two teams or so just to get the extra models, just to have any possible option they could do.
Okay.
The Justin guy was really nice. Like we talked through Discord a lot. He's like, he said, the best thing I can tell you is just play more, you know, try to get a feel for it. Is tournaments are definitely different than playing at home, et cetera, et cetera. And he gave me some, like, it was like halfway through that game that I realized a special power that the Nurgle teams can do. Because you have these like four options every team does that you spend, I believe they're called combat points. Mm-hmm. Every round you get a couple of points, and then you can spend them to get like extra boosts. And one of mine was like contagion, where like if I put myself kind of out in the open and somebody charges me, they get minuses to all their dice. And I never used it ever in the three games I played with this team because I didn't see how it was helpful. It was about halfway through that game I was like, oh, this would have been really helpful if maybe I just kind of bought into this thing right from the beginning, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Anyways, I lost the game afterwards. I was tired. It was about turning point three where I was getting drilled. I didn't have many guys. I didn't feel like I could do anything. Blew some dice rolls, which happens when you're going to roll a bunch of dice. But I realized at one point, like shaking my head of like, you need to wake up because you're just zoning out. You're just so overwhelmed with all these little tinky rules and this and that and everything. So the fatigue of playing back-to-back kill team games, and usually we don't do that. We play at home. So if it lasts 4 hours, we don't care. But yeah, when you're trying to nail them in like a two and a hour, 15 minute game, you know, it's daunting. Ben was tired and feeling sick himself, so we decided to go ahead and drop. The TO for some reason gave us a 14-14 point tie. So even though I didn't finish the tournament, I didn't finish last because of the it's funny because me and Ben just decided to roll. He just put us together because I don't know how the software works. Yeah. Are you using best coast pairings, mm-hmm, which I guess is pretty popular?
Yeah, we were going to use them one time and we didn't want to learn it.
So we didn't like drop out of the tournament. He just paired me and Ben together and we rolled off for a 1-0 win. But I guess it didn't go through or so. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I played two rounds. I think I had a good time. It's just one of those games where if you're a competitive guy, you're just going to have to go and kind of – this is probably – he also said this is a game that benefits you just picking one team and playing them over and over and over and over and over and over, which makes a lot of sense too. And, of course, I – you know, got into kill team and have 12 kill teams. So don't really have any of them mastered. And yet I'm like Blood Bowl. Every time we play, I want to play a different team.
So it is interesting to me that, like you said, it pays to go to tournaments because it's a different format and you learn things better. So I think that's a big shout out to a lot of people at home who don't tend to go to tournaments, you know. Go out meeting people. It's nice to meet people. Get out of the house, you know. But also, you know, you learn stuff and you might be playing something completely wrong at home. You get to a tournament and you're like, oh, this makes more sense. Or you might have a decent understanding of something, but you don't know why it's the way it is. And then you just talk to that one guy who's like, no, it's this way because of this. And then you never forget it.
Right. And just hearing people's perspective of like, why did you take ladders? It's not like you're going to climb a lot of equipment being Nurgle, you know, and this and mm-hmm. that, because you get to pick equipment before the game. So every team can like grab frag grenades or a barricade or this or that. So it was just a very different perspective. And if I felt like probably what a lot of these new Blood Bowl people go, you know, they're playing online and then they come to a tournament and they never heard of Slan or maybe just a team that's not Blood Bowl 3, let's just say, mm-hmm. And kind of blown away by that. Now, like I said, I was familiar with the Wrecking Crew, but one of the things I forgot in our game is that he can spend a combat point and there's like a skill in the game where like if you have a missile, it blows up. So it has a little radius of like one inch around it. It will blow up things also.
Okay.
So if you had a guy back to back to each other, they're both going to get hit by the same missile, right? Because it's blowing up like a grenade. He had a special power that he could pay one and turn his blast one weapons into blast two. Well, I had my guys still kind of gathered together, but they were more than one inch apart because I thought I was safe. Mm-hmm. And then he shot a missile into me and it hit like three of my guys.
They all blowed up dead.
They weren't dead. I mean, it took him a little while, but yeah, he got them all eventually. So it is what it is. you know, from his perspective, he was like, you should have charged me, this and that. And I was like, oh God, I felt like I was dead either way. But looking back, some of the points he made was nice. And I told him, I was like, you know, sometimes I wish I could play this game. And I think we've said this before for like new people. You'd almost like somebody to sit behind you, do their play without you telling them anything. And then as soon as it's over, turn around and go, so what did I do wrong? And then that person can go like,
right,
here's what I would have done and why. And that Justin guy even said, he goes, next time we're in a tournament together, if we play each other, I'll do that for you if you want me to. He was just super nice about it.
That's cool.
I was like, now what I find, this is going to sound like I'm poo-pooing the Warhammer Kill Team community, but I'm not. It's just how they run things. This was considered a casual event, and it just pays out the top three, which is really weird to Blood Bowl people. Because for real, I was thinking, if I traveled in, let's say I came up down from Tulsa, and I went 0-2, my choices are stay and play another game, which is fine. Or if I've already had a bad day, I could hit the road. There's no initiative. What they did, here's, I guess the better way to say this is me, Michael Graham, who's playing some Kill Team with us, and Ben Burns, a Blood Bowl guy, we eventually want to add a tournament to Wizards of Kill Team, but I want to bring in some Blood Bowl flavor to it. I want to, the entry doesn't go towards credit because, let's face facts, the rich just keep getting richer. I mean, the guy who won the tournament, he went 21-3, 21-3, 21-3. He is the guy who's like ranked 10th in the United States. I truly doubt, I'm sure he loved getting, I don't know what the payout was, $7,500 in credit, but like, he probably had everything in Kill Team, just like I would too if I had Blood Bowl stuff. But I think I've talked to those guys and they're like, yeah, I think we'd do something a little different, like maybe have a drawing for at least somebody else to get something if they just stuck around. And I explained to them like Blood Bowl. I was like, if I ran a Kill Team tournament, I would do first, second, third place. I said, since there's three different like scoring ops, I would do like the most kill op points, the most tech op points, the most mission points. And that way six people could randomly, you know, have some awards, little trophies, and then just do some drawings. And if the first place guy happens to get the drawing, great. If the last guy has a drawing, great.
Yeah.
I think that is the goal. Now, I do not know when this is going to happen or if we're even ready for it, because we probably need to play a few more tournaments. But we also want to implement a designated odd man out, because the way this, from what I've heard from Shane and Ben and Michael in past, if it was 13 people here, they just do the buy round and move on. And frankly, people are usually pretty happy with it, even though they're sitting around, because they get a lot of points.
Yeah.
You know, for the next round.
If you get a full point win, then yeah, why would you complain?
Except I've heard from some of the people I know, they're like, I kind of just rather play even if I lost, because how am I going to get better? So what I wish would happen is, and you know, maybe we have to do this just by example, and who knows? I mean, the goal is not only to run Blood Bowl, continue to run Blood Bowl tournaments, but I think at least once a year, I think we're going to try to run a Kill Team tournament, see what we think about it, see if it goes over well. For all I know, playing for a $5 plastic trophy, people might not be into, you know, they might only be there for the credit. I truly doubt that. At least the Tulsa crowd, they just seem like they are eaten up with Kill Team and playing all the time, which is fine. That's a great environment.
Yeah.
One guy's even doing like custom dice and they look really cool. It says like Oklahoma Kill Team, I guess it's for the Discord group. And it's like an arrowhead looking shape. I mean, they look pretty slick. And I decided, like, you know what? If these guys are going to be really cool, like, I'll support them. I don't need 10 dice, but I went ahead and bought some dice. And so did Michael and Ben and stuff like that to support those guys. So there is a team event where you could take a little squad of people up there.
Yeah.
But it happens to be on a weekend that I have a graduation thing. So I'll try it again in the future. I'm going to give Kill Team a few more chances on the tournament level, even if I don't expect to do good. I just don't want to get blown out, if that makes sense. I want to be semi-competitive. Not a bad game. We really did get into Kill Team because we heard there was a good narrative play. Mm-hmm. And when that lasted for about 3 months as we were learning the rules for 2.0. And then 3.0 came out and there's no narrative play. So we're hoping that it either gets some narrative play or something like that. One last edition. Last Sunday, I played Necromunda, which is, in case people don't know, Necromunda is a planet, basically like a rich resources planet that for like the last 10,000 years, they've basically been tapping all the resources. And now the only thing left is these big, giant, like spire cities. And they just keep building on top of each other. So like the elite live above the clouds mm-hmm. on the top of these big giant cities where the air is fairly clean because it's super toxic, you know, on the planet. And everybody is little gangs. So in Kill Team, you measure everything out before you ever move. You're like, oh, this guy can move 6 inches. He can shoot 12. Let me pre-measure this. In Necromunda, the gangs are like me and you because we're just a bunch of, well, I think they call them hivers. We're just a bunch of dudes trying to survive and eat. You say what your action's going to be, then you measure it out and go, oop, mm-hmm. I don't have the range for that weapon. I guess I shot the ground. I charge you. Oops. I ended up 2 inches away from you.
Yeah, we played more time back in the day, a little bit. Insane.
That's what I was getting ready to say. It reminds me, it has the narrative just like Mordheim did, except these are little gangs in the 40K world on the planet Necromunda. And it's the same thing, just like in Mordheim, where you like, I can't remember what you did a check to see basically if your team got scared off, like, screw this, I'm not staying route around. They call it bottling in Necromunda. So you could, like, your team could freak out. If somebody gets shot right next to a dude, that dude that just witnessed his buddy get his head blown off might just go, I'm out of here.
Yep.
You know, he has a cool test. A lot of extra little charts. It even has like an old school, I call it an old school second edition Blood Bowl injury chart where you roll a D66 for Necromunda. Everything looks like it's narrative play in Necromunda. Even like some of the missions are, you get five random guys from your squad. You buy your team just like you would in Blood Bowl. There's lasting injuries. Much more narrative play than what Kill Team is offering us right now. And I kind of liked it, even though I got my butt kicked and hit Necromunda as well. So. Anyways, so I am just dabbling in some other games.
That's cool.
I guess I'm occupying my life with building models and doing other little fun things like that and trying
and
things.
Painting and doing a very good job.
Yeah. So I have been painting. So,
but you know, if Oklahoma goes well this year at the hotel, we could always go to a larger one next time. And have a Kill Team tournament that same weekend. We can do a whole Oklahoma weekend at some point.
Well,
like,
I mean,
OklahomaCon.
We really could at some point, depending, you know, if we like all this stuff and everything. But anyways, I'm dabbling into obviously other GW games. No, this is really not a ploy for them to send Kill Team stuff ahead of time so we can talk about it, even though I'm not going to lie, I would love that. Especially considering my RGW rep didn't even contact Brian for the last Kill Team release. He never got an email, so we missed out on the big Kill Team release.
Worst GW rep. Always has been.
But anyways, I just wanted to kind of let people know, treat your new people that you play against at tournaments well, because so they come back. That's for sure. And if you're new, just ask a bunch of what seems like dumb questions. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I was like, okay, I think I'm going to shoot this guy. And I don't think you have cover. And he's like, why do you think that? And I was like, you know, and I went into it and he's like, well, actually the reason I don't have cover is because your gun has saturate. Oh, okay. You know, so it helps to play other people to make sure you're playing games right.
Oh, for sure.
It,
yeah.
It helped with HeroClix 20 something years ago. It's helped with tremendously with Blood Bowl and stuff, and here we are, I'm playing another game and it helps quite a bit. So anyways, that's my update for that. If you don't want to, you like the Warhammer stuff but you don't want to buy a giant 1,000-point army, you can get into Kill Team for about $60 plus buying the book or whatever, and it's pretty daunting. I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty daunting. And of course, it's always going to be more enjoyable with your friends because I can play it for 4.5 hours and we could look up rules online to make sure we might be right and still not sure. But I didn't have a bad tournament experience. I will try to go again. I doubt I'm going to do a cover every tournament here on the podcast, but I did think it was just kind of something to mention since this podcast is Blood Bowl, but it's also kind of our lives too. So
for sure.
Any questions, thoughts?
No, I think we answered everything. If anyone has any questions, feel free to reach out. We can cover this more if people want to.
Well, no, I mentioned problem. The Necromunda thing because somebody was already teasing me like, oh, you're playing Kill Team. When's Necromunda next? Well, it happened last Sunday. So
I really enjoyed playing friggin' Mordheim. You know, that till after the first game, my ringleader decided to fall down a well and miss like 3 weeks.
The guys talked about Mordheim because one of the guys I played Necromunda where he's like, yeah, I heard that's like the fantasy version of this. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah. And I pulled out the old rule book that, you know, our buddy Sarge.
Nice.
And they were like, I think this is the same rules that's on the online community.
Probably is.
And so they were like, maybe we should try this too. Because these guys are all ate up with miniature games too. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, it was interesting. And from what it looks like, we don't know anything. But from what we can tell, all the gangs seem fairly like it really feels like you're just rolling a lot of dice and you hope to get fives or sixes to hit. And
for
stuff.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Anyways, with that said, let's come back and talk about some Oklahoma Bowl Spiky Cup. All right. The most asked question, as people saw me, so maybe it's just Oklahoma people.
Well, Steve, the question to reply to them is, why haven't you registered yet? Because we're sitting at 6 people.
Yeah, well,
I know we'll get a lot more, but I'm having to shell out a lot of money up front, and I don't like it.
Yes, please register if you can.
Yes,
sevens. Blood Bowl Sevens. It's a draft format is what it will be mm-hmm. in the ranking system. Here's my layman's thing. It's just you pick 7 guys, right?
Pretty much, yes.
Pretty much. Why don't you explain to me how to build my team?
Okay. So it is essentially the same type of sevens team. So you can only have 4 positionals. That includes, you know, your big guys or whatever. So for this, it's 7 players from any race completely, however you want to do it. The caveats to that are you must roster 1 strength 5+ player.
Okay.
I don't care if it's a Rad Ogre. I don't care if it's a Tumra. I don't care if it's whatever. You know, as long as it's 5+ strength, you have to have at least 1 on your roster.
Okay.
You cannot have more than 1 AG 2+ player. So if you want elves, well, sorry, you're getting 1 elf. If you want a gutter runner, you're getting a gutter runner. You're not getting 5. Okay. And then, like, again, those keep into the 4 positionals, you know, not lineman positions. Linemen are your 0 to 16, 0 to 12, whatever those. So for everything else, well, for everything total. So I'll just read this verbatim and then we'll go over it. For positionals, you can only have 4 total, including the strength 5+ player, and no more than 1 positional from each race. So there's no Skaven Blitzer from Skaven and a Rad Ogre from Underworld, because they're all Skaven. All elves are considered elves, which shouldn't be an issue anyways, since I don't know of any 3+ elves. And all humanoid are human races. So your humans,
Norse,
your
Amazons, Renegades.
Underworld Renegades, right. Anything like that.
Not Underworld Renegades.
No, human,
Chaos
Renegades. Yeah.
Okay, because my example is going to be I could take a Rad Ogre mm-hmm. from Underworld.
Yeah.
I could take a Blitzer from Skaven.
Nope.
No. Okay, same because race. Those are rat races. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so this explains, this is what I couldn't tell people. So if I do take a War Dancer, which I'm assuming is going to be super popular.
Most likely, yeah. Oh, and by the way, Slaan and Teams of Legends are not allowed. So take back my Tomb Raw thing. You can't take a tumor off because it's not out.
Okay.
But
so
yeah.
Slaan, no Tomb Kings. Gotcha.
And no high elves.
So I could take a rat ogre.
Mm-hmm.
I could take a ogre because I only had to have one five strength. It's not limited to,
you could
right?
Take more. Right.
Okay. Then I could take a skink.
Mm-hmm.
And a war dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could take a Norse lineman, a dwarf lineman, and just for this example, a halfling hopeful. No, yeah. A halfling lineman.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Linemans don't matter. So,
but it does on the race. So that's where I can only take, I can't take three dwarf linemen.
Believe you can, because the linemans don't matter. It's for positionals. So for positionals, they cannot have extra races. For linemen, I don't care. So if you've got, you know, if you want to take three dwarf linemen or you want to take three skaven linemen and a rat ogre, okay, that's fine. Because the linemen don't matter. They're not bound by those other rules. Because that's just for positionals. Because that's really the only thing that matters. Now, obviously, you know, your skaven linemen are going to be fast. Your skinks are going to be super fast. But skinks are 2+, so you can't do that.
But they're not positionals, technically. They're the lineman position, right?
Right, but you still, the whole team cannot have more than one AG 2+ player.
Oh, okay.
So you can't do any elves.
So really pay attention to the details on this.
Yeah.
But you're saying, for example, so I could have a ogre, I could have a human blitzer, I could have a war dancer, I could have a skaven blitzer, and if I wanted my three linemen to be dwarves, I could.
Yeah.
Or three skaven, I mm-hmm. could. Or three human linemen,
yeah.
I could.
Linemen, okay. Don't care. Okay. And then everyone is also getting a free goblin, just regular goblin line model.
As your bench player.
Yeah, so you'd have to bring your own goblin, I would recommend, because we're not giving you a goblin. Okay. Everybody should have a goblin.
Okay.
If you need a goblin, let me know. I can figure it out. But.
Well, I'm sure we can pass some out if we need to.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is interesting. See, this is not... This is what I could not tell people, even though I was like, I kept going like, well, check the rules, and if you have questions, let me know, and... Nobody asks questions, so.
Yeah. And the rules, like I said, to me, they're pretty obvious because of what's said, but now not everything is completely spelled out, so maybe I should go back and do that for the linemen. But there's only so many words I can put on a page.
I understand, but maybe we make a post somewhere just to, like, clarify on the Oklahoma Facebook page or something like that.
We can do that.
With a couple examples.
Mm-hmm.
Like a couple of good examples and a couple of like, this does not work because you can't have a rat ogre from Underworld and a gutter runner.
Yeah, because that's my whole problem is I initially wanted it just to be 7 of anything. I didn't care what you did. Well, if I do that, then you're going to get 7 gutter runners or whatever. You know, something stupid. Yeah. And initially I was like, okay, that's cool. I mean, but it's just whatever. But I want to see some variety. So I think Craig mentioned no more than one AG 2+, and someone else mentioned no more than, or you have to take at least one big guy. I might have done that just to, they're not reliable. They're slow. Sure. So it kind of changes the dynamic. But yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's got me. I guess I wasn't paying a lot of attention because I just thought it was just 7 dudes I didn't remember, but this is now much more interesting to now kind of like cobble together your team.
Mm-hmm.
And think about like what's important, what's not important. I assume we're going to see a lot of Norse linemen, but I don't really know.
Probably, but are Amazon linemen better? I mean, it's 7s, you know, is it better to have speed or is it better to, you know, a snotling that can just dodge through tackle zones is pretty good.
And are you given any skills when you build this team?
Don't believe so.
Okay.
Let me double check. I want to say no, but I don't do, no, there's nothing to it.
Okay.
I don't play seven as much, even though, you know, I've got two championships.
Yeah, I was trying to say, you're the sevens man.
Doesn't mean I know what's going on.
Okay, so there is no skills and there's no rerolls, right?
Right.
Okay.
I initially was going to do, like, say, 700 and make everybody get under that. Then I was like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with the money. Just make it easy.
Okay.
So right now, to speak about other things, the scoring that we have, that might be updated by the time we do the event, like for bonus points, because we're going to be doing Blood Bowl Tournament Manager, and it can do bonus points pretty well, but the way we do them, there's a lot of them, and they're very wordy, so they took up a lot of room at the event that I ran. So okay. We might do something there. We've already got a crap load of stuff to give away. What did I send you, like five GW teams and two sevens?
I think
sevens?
We have like five GW teams for sure. There's two sevens pitches for sure.
And I've got a Rakveta team and a Halfling and Tree.
Some stuff from some Baron of Dice came in.
Oh, yeah, we got five sets of dice from Baron of Dice.
We have the, like, turf field.
Oh, yeah. We still have those?
It's still in the garage, awesome. I believe, to give away. Pretty sure it's still out there.
I need to remember who sent those.
Well, I need to make sure I need to go touch it before I tell you that we have it out there.
True.
We have quite a bit of stuff for the event and stuff. So,
yeah
everybody get signed up if you know you're coming. That really does help. And
it does. And we do have a hotel, like I said, this time. So there's a hotel room rate. So you can sign up there. Interesting, funny thing about hotel rooms. So this is going to be kind of just a general BS about tournament stuff. Going to Nova this year because it's in Washington, D.C. So I figured I've got to get that one checkmarked. And they tried to put tickets on sale and it crashed the system. So that kind of sucked. But I wasn't so worried about the tickets to the event as much as I was worried about the cost of the hotel. Now, they have a room rate through the event of like $177 a night in Washington, D.C. That's not bad. So I looked like, well, what if I just got it on my own? Well, it's $350 a night on its own. So I was like, I need those rooms. Because if I don't get it for the good price, I may not go. And I saw that they don't go on sale until the 24th. I was like, well, 24th, I'm going to be in Texas. I don't really have time to screw with that. I don't know what time they're going to go on sale. Figured, why not? I gave him a call. Played stupid. I was like, hey, I was told that the event's being held here and you might have some room rates. And the guy's like, let me look. I don't see it right now. I see that we have that event, but I don't see the rates right now. Do you know how much it was? I go, yeah, it was $177.10 a night or something. He goes, oh, okay. Yeah, we can get you that. What dates do you need? So I got all the dates and only had to pay like one day down and you can make changes. But yeah, I got my room rate 2 weeks in advance because I didn't want to worry about it.
Nice. Good for you. And if you're hearing this, you have about... 10 days or so instead of the 2 weeks. So
yeah, and
you can try it out yourself.
Give them a call early because it's a lot easier.
In a few months, Steve might be going like, they wouldn't honor the price because I was 2 weeks early.
No, I have documented proof, sir. They will. See what else. Oh, I am now officially Frontline Gaming's Blood Bowl guy, apparently.
Yeah, so, I saw that.
We'll be getting more into what that means later on. So essentially, I think Jake's the VP that's taken over all the events and stuff because the previous guy was not doing what he was supposed to do. I'll put it that way. So yeah. He took more of a hands-on approach and wanted Mark Perry to run everything because of how well he does with LVO. And Mark was like, I don't have time or energy to do that. I've got a wife and kids and got a grandkid on the way. So he's like, okay, cool. Well, he recommended me. And I talked to Jake when I was at Rocky Mountain Open when he was there. And yeah, so I think essentially what's going to be is I'm going to work on a plan for next year to make all the events in kind of like a circuit for Frontline Games, culminating in the Las Vegas Open. And I think, or the Sin City Bowl at Las Vegas Open. I think this year, Mark is still doing the rules for that event, and then I'll run it on the day of. But I know we got Drew running the ones in Allen, Texas. Russ Castronova's running the ones in California. We got a Facebook page created for Frontline Gaming, so I'm going to try to consolidate all the Blood Bowl stuff into one area. And there should be a Discord coming soon for them as well. So I'm hoping this proves as a way to, since GW really isn't doing a whole lot of events, no shame on Luft. Luft is doing a lot. But I know some people don't like GW. I also know some people don't like Frontline Gaming. So it just kind of is what it is.
Yeah, I've heard both. It's like, I want to support Blood Bowl, but I'm not going to no GW event.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, that doesn't really support.
Just like there's some people out there who just refuse. I'm just going to buy it from Etsy team instead of buying a GW product. It's like, why? What was it? But whatever. Anyways.
People always have issues with everything. So, but I'm trying to work with them, trying to get a good relationship going, and then see how things go from there.
Awesome.
Gives me something to do. You know, keeps me busy.
Sure.
Never have enough to do.
You should have some children. That would keep you busy.
No, thank you. I am very good without them.
Besides, boys can't get pregnant, right?
Right. That's exactly the reason you... I can't even be that mean. Like, I can be that mean offline, but I can't be that mean online.
Yeah, you have a reputation because everybody thinks you're really nice.
Oh, yeah. Like I'm the super nice one.
Yeah, sure you are. You're right.
I saw a lot of people at Adepticon like, oh, hey, Steve. Hey, how's it going? Cool.
You saw who?
A couple of people at Adepticon hadn't seen in a while, so that was neat.
That's cool. All right. Well, if you don't have nothing else, I guess
it's kind of... I don't think so. I thought there was more about Oklahoma Bowl, but we might be getting a miniature made. I think Mike Patterson's reaching out to Ugni about that, possibly. We got some keychains coming. We got some stun markers coming. We got kickoff dice coming. We got regular dice coming. We got... Oh. That's what I want to talk to you about. We'll talk about it offline. Our little special thing we're going to do. But we got other stuff going on for the event.
So. Sure. I guess we got other stuff going on. We'll talk about it later.
Hey, well, we'll wrap this up and come back with some shout out.
All right.
After another long episode, it's time to wrap this puppy up with some
shout outs.
Go ahead.
So we don't really have any like pressing shout outs, but I wanted to kind of turn the Fun Both Down podcast into maybe a little bit more serious thing. A fellow listener, a longtime listener, on the other side of the world, in Australia, Jason Webster is, from all I can remember is from almost, it feels like from day one, he's been a fan of the show. He got out of Blood Bowl for a while and still listened, even though like he didn't play Blood Bowl, cause he, in his words, like loved us and stuff. And for the past, golly, we've had this show now, you know, since 2011. So for a long time now, he's been a part of me and Steve's lives. I know Christmas time or even New Year's sometimes, I'll get little messages ahead of time or birthday greetings or something like that. One of my favorite is the one where I think it was like little Santa's little helpers were like little topless girls. So it was always kind of fun and entertaining to get those things from across the world, 12 hours before the actual date here in America. With sad news, his wife, Karina, passed away from her battle of cancer on Monday, the 24th of March. And the reason this is important to me is because while I've never physically met Jason, or I've never spoken a word to Karina or Jason, is and it feels really stupid because, like, but we're in the age of like social media where we have Facebook friends and, you know, Twitter friends or whatever. And you watch these people grow, and you watch their children grow, and you watch the ups and downs. And if you've been with us on this podcast journey, you've heard me and Steve go through hell. Well, we thought, you know, we're going to die from a tornado. We talked about I'm sure we talked about, you know, first day of school for kindergarten for my youngest, to now we're talking about my oldest graduating. And over the years, I've watched Jason make posts and talk. And from a distance, this is just my opinion. From a distance, I've always saw Jason, maybe because he's a bigger, chubby guy like me, as Australian Scott. And he was, you know, married to Australian Jennifer, because Jason looked really happy with his wife Karina, and you could see that in their posts and how they at least carried on through social media. And it feels stupid, and at the same time, I mean, it's emotional, that when I found out that she passed away, it was a big shock at work. And somebody even said, like, you're acting like you almost lost someone. And I was like, in some ways I did, because even though I'd never met this person, it's part of our both down family who is hurting and lost someone. And I'm telling you, if you ever find your person, and I'm very, very beyond blessed that I have Jennifer in my life, because I don't know if anybody else in this world would put up with me and laugh and just enjoy life with, and, you know, no drama. From an observer, you know, he listens, he tunes into our podcast, and I see his life going on through Facebook. It really felt like I was looking at Australian Scott and Jennifer, and it was really Australian Jason Webster and Karina. And his family's pretty devastated, of course. And Jason, I just want to tell you that we at Both Down, from Steve and Scott and even Jennifer, we love you guys and our hearts with you. And there's no right words that we can say. But I do want to carry on to everybody out there, just in life in general. Just remember, man, guys, everything ends. It's really about the journey, whether it's a Blood Bowl trip or it's Blood Bowl trips like Steve goes on to, like many Blood Bowl trips. But the fellowship is kind of really why we're here, more than the gaming. And just soak in the moments, enjoy what time you have, and try not to make it drama. And Jason also had, just a short time later, it wasn't too long after the passing of Karina, that I believe they welcomed their first grandchild on April 12th. Bindi, Honey Mozart, was born on April 25th. I'm sorry, on they do their dates different over there. On April 11th, and he's got his first granddaughter. I believe it's his first grandchild. But 18 days afterwards, you know, as he said on his Facebook post, from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs. And our hearts with you. And I don't really know what else to say. I know I'm rambling, but everybody enjoy the moment. Let's all take care of each other. Don't let the state of politics get in our way. Everybody just be kind to each other. Jason Both Down loves you. Scott Steves loves you. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people. And I know this is a weird shout out, but we just want to tell you that our heart's with you. And we're just going to play this out, and we'll play a little. I know Karina was a big Evanescence fan, so we're going to, in the podcast, playing a little Evanescence for Karina and Jason.
so tired of being here, suppressed by all my childish fears. And if you have to leave, I wish that you would just leave, 'cause your presence still lingers here. This pain is just too